Nice to sing together with you. Thank you to the team for doing that. It's nice to be here in person as we've brought our family here to be with you, and for those of you on the live stream as well. It's really uplifting to hear from God's word and to be able to sing songs of praise and worship to our great Savior Jesus. Have you ever walked into a room and not turned the light on? And did you bump into something, a chair or a table or maybe the bed? Or for us who are parents, we've stepped on that piece of Lego that has been left in the middle of the floor. But if you were to walk into that same room and turn the light on, then there wouldn't be difficulty, right, to navigate your way around. The light helps us to see. And Jesus is that light. I noticed this banner, whatever you call that blanket type thing, but Jesus as the way and the light. And Jesus is the light. Whoever follows Jesus will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life, can live in the light of his presence. So this morning, we are going to be talking about darkness to light, because the truth is that darkness can weigh in heavy on us like a cloud, but Jesus is the light, and he helps us to see what we should do and where we should go. But our problem is that deep darkness does affect us spiritually and also in other ways, mentally, emotionally, physically. And so we need the light of Jesus to shine in our lives, in our hearts, in our souls, and so we can experience a light-filled life. Now, in some way or another, to one degree or another, we all are experiencing darkness, aren't we? Maybe you have chronic pain, there's sickness, medical appointments coming up, mental strain, disappointment, frustration, anxiety, depression, maybe even despair. Emotionally drained, feeling lost and hopeless in certain situations. And then there is spiritual darkness. If you don't have a right relationship with God, then your sin keeps you in darkness. It weighs you down. But you know, we can also be, as Christians, struggling with sin ourselves, struggling spiritually, and we need a fresh ray of light to pierce through the darkness in our own souls. But there is good news. Again, Jesus is the light of the world. And he can shine into your life today. So we're going to look into God's word to see what he has to say. So if you do have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9 in your Bible, or scroll on your phone is Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to be focusing on one verse together this morning. So Isaiah chapter 9, and it will be this verse, verse number 2. Isaiah, recording this for us many years ago, said this. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. It says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light shone." So these words recorded by the prophet Isaiah, they speak of the nation of Israel. They've been sent into exile because of their disobedience to God. And then 700 years after Isaiah wrote these words, Matthew, in the Gospels, he would repeat these same words, record them for us, and really talking about Jesus, the deliverer, who would start his ministry on earth. So listen as I read this. You don't need to turn, but Matthew records these for us. So it says this, "Now when Jesus," this is Matthew 4, verses 12 to 17, Matthew writes, "When Jesus heard that John had been arrested and withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled." And then Matthew records, this is a quote from Isaiah 9. "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And then Matthew finishes by saying this, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so here, Matthew recording this for us, clearly, Jesus is the light to shine in the darkness. Again, Isaiah 9:2 said, the people who walked in darkness, those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness. So this will be the first thing to consider, the deep darkness. This is emptiness, without light. It's aimless, wandering. And when I think about darkness, it takes me back to the 1990s. I was a teenager at Camp ABK. I know many of you have been at ABK or other camps in the area, but as a counselor, I would be leading a cabin of 10 to 12 boys with somebody else, and in the late evening, after a busy day of camp activities, they would let some of the staff come and hang out in the dining hall. That's not done so much these days, but it was something that we looked forward to as staff. And when, though, it was time for lights out, everybody would leave the dining hall, it was time to go back to the cabins. And typically I would be up in cabin 7 or 8. At that time it was cabins 5 and 6. And if you were to walk between, now it's cabin 6 and cabin 7, there's a bit of a treed area. And if people didn't leave the porch light on, then you were walking in darkness. And you've been at campfire and heard a story about a missionary and, you know, some of the things that they have happened there. You know, that was, for me, deep darkness. The imagination runs a little bit wild. That was physical darkness. But darkness is not just physical. Darkness is a picture of sin, of evil, of rebellion. Proverbs 4:19 says that the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. But the humbling truth that we all, by nature, are in darkness. You don't need to teach a 2 or 3-year-old how to do something that's wrong. That's in them already, just as it's in you and it's in myself. It's in us to want to do what is wrong. Romans 3:23, of course, says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We heard these words in our first service this morning. John 3:19-20 says this, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light. People love darkness, like to be hidden in secret. Why? Because their works are evil. People want to live for themselves rather than for the God who made them. And for those who reject God's free gift of eternal life in Jesus, then they will, the Bible tells us, they will remain forever in darkness. Further down in John 3, verse 36, it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. It is to those who do not obey the Son. This is a verse in Jude, verse 13, it says this, those who do not obey the Son, it will be those for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. Now, in addition to the deep darkness of sin, when we're going through difficulty, it can seem that we're left in the dark. We can be wondering, well, where is God in this? I really feel like I'm in the dark. God can seem absent when we're struggling. Now, Mary and Martha, in the New Testament, their brother Lazarus had died. And in John chapter 11, they both say to Jesus on separate occasions, they say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus would show the glory of who he is by raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in him will never die, even though they do die. Whoever lives by believing in Jesus will never die. So Jesus showed up there in a powerful way and raised Lazarus from the dead. Now the Apostle Paul, though, also in the New Testament, tells of a thorn that he had in the flesh. And we don't know specifically what that was. It could have been some weakness or difficulty or perhaps a particular person. But he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, he said this, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord that he would take this away from me. But the Lord said to Paul, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" So here the Lord came alongside and said, "I'm not going to take this away, but I'm going to help you as you go through this. My power is made perfect in weakness." So these two examples from the New Testament show us that in our deep darkness, we could experience the glory of God. God could work a miracle, or we will need to depend on his grace as we go through that difficulty. It is difficult, and it can get dark. We can feel like King David in Psalm 23 when he wrote, as though he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of darkness. But God reminds us through his word that he is with us through whatever we face. King David also wrote these words in Psalm 139. He said, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, God. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." So I want to say to all of us, God is present in the darkness. He can be trusted even in deep darkness. A light shines in the darkness. Our verse again, Isaiah 9:2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." And who is this light? Again, it's none other than Jesus Christ. He is the radiant Redeemer. And why use the word radiant? Radiant means to shine brightly. Jesus is the great light. He is brilliantly glowing in all splendor, blazing in glory and majesty. And for us, this radiant Redeemer, this radiance is seen in that he has redeemed us. He is the Redeemer. This is the good news. To be redeemed is to be bought back from slavery. And we have been in slavery to sin and to death, but Jesus has freed us by his own death on the cross. The death that we deserved, he took upon himself in our place so that we could, as it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, this is what it says, that he delivered us from the domain of darkness, the realm, the dominion of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And this is none other than Jesus, our radiant Redeemer. We have a minor struggle at this time of the year, right? Last weekend, the clocks, they sprang forward, and it seems like we lost an hour of our lives, and we struggle a little bit with that. But now we are enjoying sunlight into the evening, and I'm glad that it's a beautiful sunny day that reminds us of Jesus, our Redeemer. And we need the sun, right? It helps to give us energy. We need its life-giving rays. But how much more do we need the light of the world, Jesus? He said this in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So this is Jesus, our radiant Redeemer. I wanted to share a little bit of a light tour from a couple of chapters in the Bible. These speak about Jesus, the glory of who he is as the God-man. And so these chapters, you can look at them again later. Many of you would be familiar with them, but wanted to take a quick little tour through these. So the first one is John chapter 1, then Philippians 2, Colossians 1, and Hebrews 1. If you want to know, where does it say in the Bible that Jesus is God? We believe that Jesus, yes, is a man, but he is God, existing eternally with the Father. He was born as a man, lived, died, rose again, and ascended back to the Father. But who is this Jesus? So from John 1, John tells us that Jesus, as the Word, was with God. He was God. Jesus existed in the beginning with God. Jesus created all things. Jesus gave everything life that was created. Jesus' life brought light to everyone. And Jesus' light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never put out that light. The darkness will never overcome. From Philippians 2, we read that Jesus is God. Jesus set aside his divine privileges and took the humble position of a servant. Jesus died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus then was elevated to the place of highest honor. Jesus was given the name above all other names. Jesus, before him, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. This is Jesus. Then from Colossians 1, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus existed before anything was created. Jesus is supreme over all creation. He is the best. Jesus created everything. Everything was made by him and for him. Jesus holds all of creation together. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus, having the fullness of God living in him, he made peace with everything through the blood of his cross. And then Hebrews chapter 1, the writer to the Hebrews said this: Jesus is the one through whom God speaks in these last days. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus expresses the very character of God. Jesus holds everything together by the mighty power of his words. And Jesus cleansed us from our sins and then sat down at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Jesus is the radiant Redeemer, and Jesus deserves all of our praise and worship, our adoration, and our devotion. He is the great light to pierce the darkness, the deep darkness that we have been living in, and to some degree or another, we experience even now as Christians. Let me read our verse again, Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And so because of Jesus, we can now participate in the light-filled life. So again, we recognize that there is deep darkness, particularly our sin, but Jesus is the radiant Redeemer. He's the one who came to buy us back from slavery to sin, and now we can live in the light of his presence as Christians. Jesus is the light of the world. He has saved us to be children of light when we are part of the family of God. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesian church in chapter 5, he described those who are outside of the family of God, those who are in darkness, those who are immoral, impure, and disobedient. But then in verse 8 of Ephesians 5, Paul declares this. He said, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord." This is as children of light. So the light-filled life starts when we admit the darkness in our life, confessing our sin, repenting of our sin, turning from our sin, and turning to God by putting our faith and trust in the radiant Redeemer, who is Jesus. Then we can walk as children of light, being identified with God and with his people. Now the Apostle Peter, he also wrote about this. He described those who are God's in this way. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says this: "You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of God. This is proclaiming the goodness of God, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God's children have been called out of darkness into light. And so we can live as people of light, the light-filled life displayed by humble obedience to God through what he has shown in the Bible, having thankful hearts, living as people of generosity. So today, are you feeling weighed down by the darkness? We can look around our world, we can look in our communities and see darkness, but we have a gentle Savior. Jesus came to save his people from their sin, to set his people free. Jesus is the light of the world. In this world, we live in a land of deep darkness, but our glorious and radiant Redeemer, Jesus, has pierced through the darkness to give us light. Again, we will experience some degree of darkness in this life, but we can, and we are, as Christians, to live as children of light. My prayer for you is that you would, as we sang earlier, turn your eyes upon Jesus through what you're going through. He is faithful no matter what. I wanted to give a bit of the background to that song that we sang earlier, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It was written by a lady named Helen Lemmel about 100 years ago. I came across an interesting blog post that described some of the events leading up to her writing this song. So this song was actually inspired by a missionary named Lilias Trotter. And she wrote a poem that then the person that wrote this song, Helen Lemmel, decided to write this song based on this poem written by this missionary. So this missionary, Miss Trotter, she was originally from London, England, and she was an aspiring artist. And though she loved art, she felt a calling to reach the lost with the good news of the gospel. And so in the city of London, she did that, but eventually she would go to the African country of Algeria in northern Africa to work with the people there. And so responding to this call would come at a great sacrifice for her. She would have to lay down her promising career as an artist, but no mission agency would support her in going to northern Africa, but that didn't put her off. She decided to still go to Algeria herself. She lived among the people in the hiddenness of the desert there for 40 years, and there Trotter, she knew what it was like to be emptied of every distraction, to focus upon the face of Jesus. She had laid her life down for that one purpose. And there on the mission field, she wrote this poem that would later inspire this song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And Helen Lemmel, she read the poem in a pamphlet given to her by a friend. And then she would write that well-loved song. And these are some words from this poem, and it was entitled this, Focused, A Story and a Song. These are some of the words. Turn full your soul's vision to Jesus, and look at him, and a strange dimness will come over all that is apart from him, and the divine attraction by which God's saints are made, even in this 20th century, even in this 21st century, will lay hold of you. For he is worthy to have all there is to be had in the heart that he has died to win. Focused. Turn full your soul's vision. Are you weary and troubled? We sang those words. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Are you struggling with the guilt and the shame of your sin, a secret sin perhaps? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Are you resting in the faithfulness of your Savior? And I would encourage you, continue to turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you need some help, if you need to talk to somebody, I would encourage you to talk to somebody here at the leadership of the church, or talk to a trusted friend. Jesus shines to bring us from darkness to light. And we remember his life, his death, his resurrection, and one day his return for his people to take us home. This is Jesus, the light of the world, our radiant Redeemer, and he wants to shine in our lives. So I would encourage you, go enjoy the sunshine. I know some of you will be chipping at some ice or moving some water where it shouldn't be. But enjoy that. Don't forget to turn the light on when you go into a dark room. Don't bump into anything. And turn on that night light, maybe not for you, but somebody else in your family, and be, though, reminded of Jesus. He is the light of the world. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for an opportunity that we can come here together. We can sing songs of worship and praise to a great Savior, one who said that he is the light of the world. Father, we recognize that there is deep darkness in our lives. Personally, we know that, Father. We know that we're not all that we should be, the way that you've made us. And Father, we can see certainly darkness in our world, and we're grieved by that. It makes us sad and just wondering what will happen. But thank you that we can have confidence in a Savior. Thank you for why Jesus came, to bring us from darkness to life, darkness to light, to bring us from death to life. Thank you that we can have a Savior come alongside us and help us as we live our lives for your glory and honor. And so, Lord, I pray for my friends here that if there is some area of darkness that they're struggling with, Lord, may that draw us back to you. May it help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Father, I pray your blessing on Island Bible Chapel. May you continue your good work here, all for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray.